coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
It would take hours to go over all the evidence which proves that the attack on September 11th, 2001 was an inside job. And I suggest you look into it if you haven't already. But to simplify the situation, all you need to do is look at Building 7. What some people still don't realize is that there were three buildings that fell into their own footprint that day. Three buildings that fell at free fall speed, indistinguishable from controlled demolitions, because that's exactly what they were. As the towers came crashing down, we can see the signatures of a controlled demolition. The official story is that Building 7, known as 7 World Trade Center, caught fire as a result of debris from the Twin Towers, which somehow caused a critical internal column to break, causing a cascading failure and collapse. And if this nonsensical official narrative were true, it would make it the first and only steel skyscraper in the world to collapse from fires. The building's owner, Larry Silverstein, took control of the Twin Towers just weeks before 9/11 and had them insured to cover terrorist attacks. After Building 7 collapsed, Silverstein told the media that the decision was made to pull it, suggesting that the building was collapsed on purpose.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
This implies that they somehow rigged the explosives that afternoon while the building was still burning, which is ridiculous. And so the media dismissed his comments and changed their story. There were several witnesses who reported hearing and feeling the type of explosions one would expect from a controlled demolition.
You heard explosions, like boom. It's like a distinct sound.
Big explosion. Blew us back into the eighth floor.
Somebody grabbed my shoulder and I started running, and the shit's hitting the ground behind me. And the whole time you're hearing thoom, 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 thoom. So, I think I know an explosion when I hear it.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me it sounded like, an explosion.
The explosions were captured on video.
You want to call your mother or something?
In fact, you were just told by police that you should move out of your apartment, Tatiana. You've got Carolina here. They advised us to leave because we had, oh my God.
First responders were told that the building was going to be blown up.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear that?
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
The building is about to blow up. Moving back. We are walking back. It's a building about to blow up.
And you guys knew this was coming all day.
We had heard reports that the building was unstable and that it eventually would either come down on its own or it would be taken down.
The BBC reported live on air that the building already collapsed before it did. Television viewers could see it in the background still standing.
I was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing, and indeed it has. Apparently that's only a few hundred yards away from where the World Trade Center towers were. And it seems that this was not a result of a new attack. It was because the building had been weakened.
And the investigation never even investigated for explosives. The Republican White House then signed into law the Patriot Act, which allowed the next Democrat White House to target U.S. civilians as if they were domestic terrorists. And they amended the Defense Authorization Act, which allowed the next Republican White House to experiment on the American people with deadly gene therapy and nanotech vaccines. The same people who did 9/11 are pulling off the climate hoax and the deadly COVID shots. They run both parties of our government. Many have forgotten, and it's time to wake up before they kill us all. Reporting for InfoWars, This is Greg Reese.
22 years ago today, think about this. Children born after, right after 9/11 or on 9/11, old enough to vote by liquor, buy weapons, fight in wars. The history books, however, don't reflect the reality of 9/11, the lost men and women of 9/11. Everything changed on that terrible day. This country changed. We never will get or never have gotten our nation back. Whether we will get it back is, of course, what I'm doing here, the only reason I'm here, and that is to attempt to get our nation back while we allowed it to be taken from us. Yes, it's our fault. It's my fault. Today is Monday, September 11th, 2023. I think of the nearly 3,000 official who were murdered on that day. I look at the pictures from 9/11. I look at the pictures from Maui and other photographs of disasters, of events, of terrorism. And I see things. I see similarities. Similarities that shouldn't be. And we need to ask the hard questions. You know, I started off with the Building 7 video by Greg Reese. I thought it was appropriate because that, of course, would be the keystone for answers to the rest. The 9/11 Commission was a joke, as was the JFK Commission or the Warren Commission on the JFK assassination. And really, every commission since then has been nothing but a mockery, or has made a mockery of America, of Americans, and our sensibilities. They've assaulted our sensibilities. And by they, I'm talking about the deep state, the shadow government, the cabal of demonic rats that run this. Talking about organizations like the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. And let's throw in the World Health Organization now and the CDC and the FDA and the EPA and all of the governmental agencies that have the power, including the IRS and the ATF, and are abusing that power. And then, of course, the DOJ, the executive branch, and the do-nothing legislative branch. We're in the middle of a cultural revolution. You know, people talk about the fourth turning, and that's I do suspect that the fourth turn, in this case, the fourth turning, is going to be a hard fourth turning, from which we may not recover. We're watching emergency powers put to the test in states. We're going to be getting into that. I've got a great program lined up for you, a lot of information. How World War III could very well have been stopped by one person. The communist revolutionaries show up in Chicago. Why does that even matter? I mean, isn't Chicago the haven of communist revolutionaries? Yeah, it is. But 9/11 really ushered everything in modernity, I suppose. And how this nation has become a laughingstock with Joe Biden in Vietnam. Don't give me any crap that, he was tired from traveling from India to Vietnam when he gave a 55-second rambling, whatever the hell you call it, until he got the hook. That's right, the hook. The hook from his own press secretary as the world laughed. And by the way, before I get too far from 9/11, I want to say this. Long before Eric the Tech, long before I realized fully what the heck was going on, long before I sat at the knees, so to speak, of people like Steve Quayle and others a lot smarter than me with respect to world events. I played an intro that included one of our elected officials saying, bomb the hell out of them, meaning Iraq or Afghanistan, whatever that target was in response to 9/11. I wanted to bomb everything that walked. I agreed with that. Patriot Act. I remember being on Coast to Coast AM and actually defending certain measures of the Patriot Act. Yeah. And for that, I apologize. But you learn, you grow, and you start to take a look at the larger picture, and here we are. So I personally have to make amends, and my making amends is a little bit different than anyone else's, different than yours, different than Eric the Tech's. Mine must be with action. We can't afford to talk anymore, especially with executive orders, with these unconstitutional mandates now on a state level being thrust down our throat, like New Mexico with the, hey, you know what? We're going to kind of suspend the Second Amendment because, well, you know, I can. Oh, yeah, you heard about that, right? And as America is the laughing stock of the world with Biden out there as the first clown, bank records will prove the Biden family raked in money from foreign adversaries around the world. You're going to see that. We bring the receipts. And then you're going to see a leaked, and I can't wait to show this, some leaked footage from Mike Lindell's deposition. And folks, if you've ever been in a deposition, have you ever been, Eric the Tech, have you ever been deposed? Let me ask you.
Nope.
No, you will be. Trust me on that. You doing all right, by the way? Everything okay?
Doing good.
There you go. Eric the Tech and I, we got plans. Oh, you wait. Anyway. Yeah, some deposition footage was leaked of Mike Lindell, supposedly in an attempt to embarrass Mike Lindell, but when you watch it, you're going to like it. This is the Mike Lindell that I know and love, and I'll tell you what. I've sat through depositions hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. And, well, just wait until you see this, if you haven't already, and then I'll give you my take on this. But first, let's go to image number one. And folks, by the way, do me a favor, okay? Please, look, I ask you this every single program, yet you don't do it. Some of you subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon, both please, as well as Spreaker, iHeart, whatever audio platform you like to listen. Hey, you can watch this program in the comfort of your own living room with your smart TV if you have one. If not, then you can listen to it. And I want to thank a certain radio station in West Virginia for carrying this program. God bless you. God bless you, every person listening to my voice in West Virginia on the radio station to which I reference. Thank you, and God bless you. God bless the mountains of West Virginia, beautiful place, as well as other stations that do carry us that I don't yet know about. But I want to show this. This is, all of the citations and sources will be at Hagman or HagmanPI.com. Open up today's program description box, and links to everything I'm talking about will be right there, including the opening video, as well as this Twitter post by James Woods. This pretty much says it all, but says a little bit more than it all. Writes James Woods, "It's all gone." Now scroll down a little bit. There you go. All right. There's the picture. You've got the Twin Towers, for those listening, you've got the Twin Towers in the background, the North Tower on the left, the South Tower on the right. And in the forefront, you've got the Statue of Liberty. It's all gone. Liberty is gone. The towers are gone. The lives, thousands of lives are gone, but our liberty is gone. Our country has forever changed 22 years ago. It started long before that, and it's continued long after. But please understand that when you can take June 19th and make it a federal holiday, but you cannot commemorate with a federal holiday September 11th, 2023, you can tell the moral direction of our country, can't you? It's gone. It's gone. There's video number one. I want to set the stage for the remainder. I've played this before, parts of it before, some of it. I've linked to it. Truer words have never been spoken, and that is we're in the middle of a cultural revolution. I want you to listen to Victor Davis Hanson, who's been on this program before. If you haven't heard this before, it's or seen this before and heard it, it's worth every second, because it is 100% accurate. Let's go to video number one in the show notes. Here it is.
This revolution that we are in the midst of is holistic. It's not a political revolution like 1776. It's more like the French Revolution of 1789, or I think really close to Mao's second revolution, the Cultural Revolution. By that I mean it's holistic. It's not about politics. It's not about Trump or conservatives versus Biden and Democrats. It's not about whether you want to spend this amount of money or that amount of money. It's more than that. It's that, but it's more than that. It spans every aspect of our being. And I mean that literally. Nobody listening to this right now, if I had said 10 years ago, mark my words, I'm a prophet. 10 years from now, there will be three sexes. And if you, listener, dare say that there are only two, you're going to be ostracized and fired from the job. Nobody would believe it. If I said 10 years ago, we're going to ban cooktops that run on natural gas heaters, and we're going to ban V8 engines very quickly because we have to transition by forcing the middle class to take a big hit on green energy. No one would believe it. If I said to you professors, if you professors get up in class and you say that you want the border closed, or you believe that biological men should not compete in female sports, or if you say the case has not been made that government has the ability without catastrophic results in a cost-benefit analysis to address climate change, you're going to lose your job. Say any of those three, you're out. They wouldn't believe you. If I said 10 years ago, there is no border, it's not that the border is porous like it was under Obama. It's not that federal immigration law is lax. There is no border. It's been destroyed. There is no corpus of federal immigration law. 7 million people have crossed the border And it's our duty to put them up in hotels through all of our major cities, give them a cell phone, waive any legal consequences for their continued illegal residence in the United States, and more to come. And we're going to be told by the Mexican government that it is our duty to treat their citizens as if they were ours. Nobody would believe that. If I said 10 years ago, 70% of the people who vote will not vote any longer on election day, we're going to go from 30% absentee to 70. And we're not even going to use the word absentee. We're going to call it mail-in balloting or early ballot. And the rejection rate of those ballots is going to plummet because we're going to change the voting laws so radically that it's almost impossible to authenticate a mail-in ballot vis-a-vis a registered name on a registrar's list. Nobody would believe that. Nobody would believe that. If I said there's going 10 years ago, there's going to be a riot. It's not going to be like the Watts riots or the Rodney King riots or the riots that followed Martin Luther King. There's going to be 120 days. There's going to be $2 billion in damage. They're going to torch a federal courthouse, a police precinct, a historic church in Lafayette Square. They're going to try to get to the White House, and nobody's going to pay a price for that. It's going to be pretty much fine. If I said, in addition to all this, then four consecutive FBI directors are either going to lie under oath to Congress or to a federal investigator, or they're going to deny and claim amnesia things that they knew were true, whether Mueller or Comey or McCabe or Wray. Nobody would believe me. If I said the FBI 10 years ago, if I said the FBI will be caught hiring Twitter to suppress news so they can warp the 2020 election, nobody would believe me. If I said 10 years ago, hey, just watch this, this upcoming 2016 election, the 2020 and the 2024 election, the FBI and the DOJ are going to warp. In 2016, they're going to concoct this lie that Donald Trump urinated on prostitutes because he was mad at Obama, who stayed in the same hotel room, and he wanted it known that he did that to the sheets, and that he was working for Vladimir Putin. And that will be a complete lie. And we will doctor FISA affidavits if we have to. We will hire foreign nationals to work on the Clinton campaign if we have to. We will do anything we have to. Nobody would believe it. If I said in 2020, the candidate for president's son, who's committed several felonies, many of which in action and in medias rebus are on the computer, and to stop that from being known, the FBI is going to take it, hide it for a year, and then tell Twitter not to put any news out other than it's a Russian disinformation ploy. It's not authentic, even though nobody would believe it. If I were to say 10 years ago, they're going to indict an ex-president of the United States for taking out documents that there was a dispute over, or for overvaluing his real estate in New York, or for having Stormy Daniels sign a non-disclosure that he probably had some tawdry relationship with, or that he made a phone call to the attorney general in Georgia complaining that he thought that the voting wasn't going right, looking and having directing him or asking him to go look for things, which the attorney general refused. And he was going to be tried, not impeached again because he's out of office, but tried and looking at 500 likely indictment. Nobody would believe it. So what I'm getting at is whether we look at sex, whether we look at the law, whether we look at the destruction of law, shoplifting, whether we look at the border, whether we look at these weaponized agencies, it's every aspect of our life. Person who's listening to this is thinking, if he lives in California, to take one example, should I go buy a pickup? When do you think they're going to outlaw it? Should I buy a diesel pickup? When they're going to outlaw that? When I get my new home, I can't have a gas cooktop or gas hot water heater in it? That's not allowed. It's cheaper. No, you can't. Could we close the border? No, we can't close the border. No. You don't understand. The country has changed in the 10 years. It's in the middle of a cultural revolution, and it affects everything. If I had said 10 years ago, hey, did you see a rerun the other night of Kill a Mockingbird? Oh, yeah, I love that movie. Gregory Peck, it was so great. did you know it was racist? No, no, you don't understand. It was a courageous movie talking about the evils of race. No, 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 no. It was white supremacy, white paternalism, and we're going to ban that book. Are you insane? And you know what we're not going to ban? We're not going to have graphic novels in K-8 libraries. We're not going to ban that because we need to discuss the normative toxic family model. So nobody would believe any of this. And there's certain people who are that you wouldn't think. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Bill Maher, but man, he's saying it like it is. I can't believe it. And Matt Taibbi, I think, has attacked me. He says it like it is. I was always a big fan of Megyn Kelly, but I never associated Megyn Kelly with just anger at the nonsense. But gosh, you listen to her podcast, and I've been on a lot of them. She just says it like she is. She's had it. Those are the types of profiles that we need that from all across the political spectrum. We should all look for those people according to their station and honor them, because we really need people to speak out. It doesn't matter what party, it doesn't matter what ideology. Just this country has so much potential. I mean, it's got everything, farmland, fuel, great military, great, and we're destroying it. This can't go on. You can't take a city like San Francisco and destroy it. Or homeless people defecating in front of people, or people walking out with stuff that you own in your own store and you can't do anything about it. It can't go on. And we need people to call it out.
Perhaps one of the best modern speeches in American history. That's Victor Davis Hanson. At least that's my opinion on this. Tells it like it is. Mentions Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, of course, is a little bit, she's a little bit upset because, you know, her shot and booster now, as a result, direct result, doctor verified, physician verified, of getting the jab, the poke, the woke poke on behalf of Fox News, or at the urging of Fox News. And the booster now has developed an autoimmune disease. We wish her well, but decisions, you made them. Speaking of, as Victor Davis Hanson did, of drag queen shows, drag queen story hours in libraries, this weekend we could have gone to a discussion, a book signing, with Jack Cashel. Did you know about this? At the Fredonia Library. If you'll pull up this from HagmanPI.com, this I published on Saturday, an untenable public exercise of hypocrisy. Now, folks, let me ask another favor. If you're on Twitter, please retweet this and include Jack Cashel and Hagman Report in your retweet. It's on my timeline. It's on Jack Cashel's timeline. You see, this particular story is illustrative of everything that's going on and everything that's going wrong today in terms of the culture revolution spoken by Victor Davis Hanson. Included in this story, well, let me give you a brief background. Jack Cashel, who's written some 18 books, I believe it is. Let me see here. 15 books. He's published, written and published. He's collaborated on another 20 books, produced numerous documentaries for regional PBS and national cable channels. Jack Cashel, he's a celebrated academic whose work, as well as his time, is valuable. Now, Jack Cashel wrote the book Untenable. He was here in studio. We had a great time. In fact, Eric the Tech, myself, and Jack Cashel, we went out to eat, had a great dinner, spoke about a lot, disagreed about some things, but no silverware, no flatware was thrown, no food was thrown, to the delight of the waitstaff. But his book, Untenable. Jack Cashel spent the last 3.5 decades up in Chautauqua County, New York, and I want to name names here because I want, you know what? Here's what I want. I want Graham Tedesco Blair, the director of the Darwin R. Barker Library, to know my name. I want him to know my name, and every time he hears my name, he wets himself. Because here's a story. Jack Cashel in 2006 wrote a book about Chautauqua County. That book was featured in the Blair Library, or the Barker Library. Barker Library. And the librarian there invited Jack to give a book signing and presentation on his newest book, Untenable. Well, the cuckold, the weasel, again, my opinion, Graham Tedesco Blair, or as I like to call him, Graham Two Names, disinvited Jack. Why? Well, when you read the email, which is posted in its entirety at HagmanPI.com, you'll see why. Now, you may not understand it because it's a word salad of communist, again, this is my assessment, of communist doublespeak, Orwellian communist doublespeak, by one of our intellectual betters. I ask that you read this story and spread this everywhere you can. Why? Because, again, this is indicative of the culture rot, the woke public hostage-taking of intellectual minds. I mean, well, and that's probably giving him too much credit. I don't believe that it's enough for us just to see how much of a hostage, how much we've been taken hostage, and we've allowed ourselves to become what we've allowed ourselves to become to the leftist, the progressive, the communist group who refuse to allow public discourse when such discussion would destroy their worldview. So if that happens, they've got to cancel you because they can't argue facts. They can't talk facts. They don't want to talk facts. They can talk feelings. They're a bunch of Karens, maybe Karen in a tutu with respect to Graham Tedesco Blair. I don't know. But his phone number and his email address is there in that post, HagmanPI.com. Yeah, I want him to know my name. And I want him to know that I believe he is a coward. And everyone like him with that kind of response are cowards. And this is how we got to where we're at today. The bigger picture, of course, in today's show notes is page 2. You know how you heard Victor Davis Hanson, probably not for the first time if you've been listening to this show, how repetition is sometimes good for the soul, good for the intellect. This is page 2 of the show notes. This is an article by Sundance on Conservative Treehouse. Hey, go ahead, shoot the messenger if you don't like the messenger, right? The message, however, is right on the money. The title of the article, the column, is the post 9/11 weaponization of the U.S. government. This is the key to understanding everything that's going on today. And you can trust me when I say this, Sundance has information that you and I, or that most people do not have. He has been with people in D.C. that you and I have not. He understands the workings, and it's well worth spreading this article everywhere you can. Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru, whatever his name is, and Eric Holder, they did not create a weaponized DOJ and FBI. This within the article. The institutions were already weaponized by the Patriot Act. What Obama and Holder did, by the way, some 22 years ago, because of 22 years ago today, the Patriot Act was designed. Actually, it was on the shelf ready to go. You know that, and I know that. But what Obama and Holder did was to take the pre-existing system and retool it. So the weapons of the government only targeted one side of the political continuum. That is the non-communist, the freedom-loving, the American-loving, the true patriots of America, as branding them as enemies of the state. Writes Sundance, the point, this point is where many people understandably get confused. In a short elevator speech pitch, if you will, two sides to this. Number one, the Patriot Act turned the intel surveillance radar from foreign searches for terrorists to domestic searches for terrorists, meaning you and me. We're the terrorists now. If you're a Christian, you're a terrorist. If you care about unborn children, you are a terrorist. If you care about your Second Amendment rights, you are certainly a terrorist. And if you care about elections, as you're going to see, and you're going to love what I'm going to show you, you're a terrorist. Just ask the FBI. The Department of Justice. Just ask Merrick Garland. Hey, just ask Joe Potato Head, mush for brains, Biden. Obama and Biden then redefined exactly what a terrorist is. And that's anyone who disagreed with them. And that's you and I. And right after 9/11. And let's not just blame Obama and Holder. There's enough blame to go around. Bush and Cheney, what a duo that. I mean, what a duo they are, right? Hey, Dick, you want to go hunting? I got a 12-gauge here. Whoops. Jack, did you accidentally shoot someone's face off? Sorry about that. Yeah. In the era right after 9/11, the D.C. National Security Apparatus, instructed by Cheney, whose daughter, by the way, oh, what a peach she is, isn't she? Liz Cheney, of the January 6th Commission, Committee, Unselect Committee, Deselect Committee. You see, Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, they instructed let me just keep true to what Sundance wrote. The D.C. National Security Apparatus, instructed by Vice President Dick Cheney, was constructed to preserve continuity of government, simultaneously view all Americans as potential threats. Yeah, great idea. The Department of Homeland Security, hey, Tom Ridge, remember when I when Randy Taylor and I sat in your driveway, I remember when Tom Ridge was part of the DA's office, and then he became a politician. Well, he was a politician then, but, and of course his brother's still an attorney here in town, and I've had dealings with the Ridge family. Wonderful, wonderful mother. I mean, but I digress. Now, I wouldn't cross the street to shake your hand. I wouldn't cross. Well, believe me, if I crossed the street, it would not be to shake your hand. Okay. But the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the DNI, ODNI, were created specifically for the purpose of monitoring U.S. citizens for potential terroristic threats. Folks, you've got to read this article. It's long, but it's important. It's not new. He did not write this yesterday. This has been written. I'm telling you right now, you've got to read this article. Understand every word of it. Now, look, there are a few things in there I don't quite 100% agree with, but 99.9% of this I totally agree with. And I've got to tell you, you've got to read this article by Sundance, the Conservative Treehouse. That's the website. Again, you don't like the messenger? I don't care. You don't like me? I don't care. I mean, I'm crushed. I'm brokenhearted. I really am. My dog likes me, and that's all that I need. But the intelligence community now, as we see now, they are the fourth branch of government. The DHS, the ODNI, the Department of Justice, and the FBI became the four pillars of a new institution. Atop those pillars is where you will find the fourth branch of government. And you know, he says something here, writes something here, that you and I, we were not sleeping when this happened. We were wide awake. However, we were distracted, admittedly, at the time, by the economic collapse that was taking place in 06, 07. You remember that, right? Of course, just keep printing that money. When the engineers behind Obama began to assemble the design, by the time Obama took office in 09, and Bush really padded everything for Obama, he all but changed the sheets in the executive quarters for Obama. That's George W. Bush. Maybe his wife did. I don't know. But here's the thing. You know, the thing. By the time Obama took office in 09, you and I, we could tell something was shifting. Now, I'm starting to become awake. I don't know about you, but I'm starting. And Eric the Tech, he was awake in 09. 13 years ago. You're starting to get, I know you. 13 years ago, what, you were 12? I'm kidding. 13 years ago, we began to really. And you know what? I know there are people out there listening to me. You were way ahead of me, and you're a lot more intelligent than I am. And I thank you for that, for being that. But you know what? I'm a fast learner. I'm quick on the uptake. So is Eric the Tech. Now we are a force to be reckoned with. Hold that thought. writes Sundance, and then I'm going to move on. If we take the modern construct originating at the speed of technological change, and this is so important, the timing of this could not be more important. We can also see how the oversight or the check and balance in our system of government became functionally obsolescent. It turned to crap in by design. They turned it to crap, the checks and balances. And after years of his research about the intelligence apparatus within our government, he went to D.C. back during the scamdemic, and he got some surprises, talked to some people got some surprises. And found that the intelligence branch functions much like the State Department through a unique set of public-private partnerships that supported big tech industry collaboration with intelligence operations, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Meta, Instagram, Twitter, and so on, is part of that functioning almost like NGOs. The process, however, is much more important than most think. In this problematic perspective of a corrupt system of government, the process is the flaw, not the outcome. Just like the process is the punishment, the process is the flaw, not the outcome. Folks, read that. I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but it's well worth the read, and I thank him. One day I'd like to buy him a cup of coffee. I'd like to sit down and compare notes with him. Perhaps we can. Sundance, if you're listening, send me an email. Let's talk. All right. What did that breed? You saw the images when we first came on. You saw the images of 9/11, the deaths. I was there. I was behind the tape. I saw where people jumped to their deaths. Why? Because whatever was inside was certainly less worse of an option than falling 100 stories, jumping 100 stories. I do suspect Dr. Judy Wood perhaps has written the exact treatise on exactly what happened there, and that could be applied to Maui as well, to Paradise, and to other places. And oh yes, it's not going to stop there, because they are going to force, unless we stop them, smart cities down our throats. And you know what? We will stop them. I was asleep. No longer. I've got to make up for my bad. I've got to make up for things that I didn't do for my grandchildren. I've got to make up for things I didn't do for my children, just as you do. But you know what? You do you. You do what God tells you to do. I'll do me. But what has happened? What has, obviously, the scamdemic with the garden gnome Fauci, the scarf woman Burks, the University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Ralph Baric, all of these people playing around with these bioweapons that include not just the actual bioweapon, but the injecticide, the woke poke, and the additional woke pokes. But they're not content to stop there. They will put this in food, in children's items, clothes, anything you can think of. They're coming after the children. Understand this. The most precious commodity, the most valuable commodity, is our generation. You know, I started watching at the urging of Eric the Tech and Steve Quayle. I started binge watching in the middle of the night Yellowstone. One thing about that is aside from the justice, but one thing about that is the fact that, you know, the legacy that we leave behind. Oh, don't send me emails saying, oh, we know it's horrible because there's curse words. And no, there's some lessons there. But after 9/11, after Obama, Holder, Newland on the foreign side, Hillary on the foreign side, Christopher Stevens on the foreign side. You remember him. He's the guy that lost his life in Libya. Okay. And then of course, the neocons, they all got together and things started to go bad, along with the Fed, along with the repo market, along with the bonds. You get where I'm going with all of this, right? Okay. So where are we today? Because we said, it's just a mask, wear it. Just because we said, okay, yeah, we'll stand 6 feet away from the person in line ahead of me because, well, the grocer over there told me to. They yelled at me for being standing too close. It's just 6 feet. This is what we get. This is what we get. And this is just a glimpse of what is coming. If you haven't heard about this, folks, please understand. This is a glimpse of what is coming. Emergency powers being a test to see exactly what you and I are going to put up with. And let me tell you, we're not going to put up with this crap. I want to direct you to, in the show notes, this would be, stand by here. In the show notes, this would be video 6. Let's take a look. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this woman. And I want you to listen to everything she says. And not only that, I want you to watch the two law enforcement officers in the frame. Because just following orders ain't gonna cut it anymore. Go ahead and play video 6.
Kyle?
Yes.
Can I have your attention?
All the examples you cited are crimes. Kids shooting at other kids, shooting from cars. So what's the value of the civil order? Why not just do better law enforcement?
Both. The value of the order is that it gives me three things. One, it says it's a statewide issue and it's a message to everyone to start leveraging their resources and arresting people. Two, the jurisdictions come at this, including with the DOJ restrictions, differently. Without the leveraging and the additional resources, arresting, and where do they go? We got to make sure that everyone is bumping up their services. It's a message to the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's a message to the HMOs. You better figure out treatment. We have been sort of stalled out, to your point. This order basically says, stop stalling out, and to your point, just arrest everyone. Well, I also have to have the ability. I can't arrest everyone. There are literally too many people to arrest.
Well,
this would allow us.
If someone got a concealed carry permit in Albuquerque walking down a public street, they're not going to get arrested.
I can make the point that maybe they should be. And this is the point. I'm willing to do anything and everything within
a
shred.
Can you back that up? I don't know if you can do that or not. Like, 15 seconds. Okay. This is the governor of New Mexico. This is the communist bitch governor of New Mexico. Listen to what she is saying. Let me explain what she's saying. She's saying that if you have a concealed carry permit, you're not allowed to use it. Because she's invoking the Emergency Powers Act. Why? Because she did it under under COVID-19. You're not allowed to carry a handgun. She's taking that right away from you. That's what she's saying. And she's okay with that. But it gets worse. But go ahead and from there, go ahead.
Public street, they're not going to get arrested.
I can make the point that they maybe they should be. And this is the point. I'm willing to do anything and everything within a shred of evidence-based effort. Because if you're not horrified that on any street corner in too many cities in New Mexico, there is someone with a gun sticking out of their waist or their belt. And I'll tell you, if you're a young person, you're not allowed to have a handgun.
Well, it's a crime already.
I got it. But we won't be able to arrest all of them. So imagine, just in a perfect world, if this was upheld, it gives all of these police officers the ability to focus on the real criminals.
Last follow-up.
Yeah.
Your
point is valid.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not, in an emergency, we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those two. And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican, your rights are subrogated to theirs. And they are not, in my view.
Wait a minute, though. You're talking about crimes. There are already laws against the crimes, so how are their rights?
I got it. But again, if I'm unsafe, who's standing up for that right? If this climate is so out of control, somebody should do something. I'm doing as much as I know to do.
Yeah, you're violating the Constitution, you sniveling communist. And hold that right there. You see that guy screen right to her left? He's a law enforcement officer. If he had any balls to him, he would stand up right there and arrest her for violating your rights, violating the Constitution of the United States and of the state of New Mexico. But apparently he lacks the brass ones. Apparently, I don't know if he's married. I have no clue. Maybe his wife's got his brass ones. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have them. You know, maybe they're in her purse. Or his purse. She should be arrested. Publicly arrested. Enemies, foreign and domestic. You're looking at Exhibit A. Enemies, foreign and domestic. What she is planning to do. Or what she did, I should say.
There's no exclusions when it comes to the Constitution.
No. God gives us our rights. They are delineated by the Constitution, by the Bill of Rights. And she's saying, well, you know, the Constitution means more to the 11-year-old that got shot and killed and the two other children that means more to them. So that gives me the right to shred the Constitution. Everything she says is doublespeak, which is why... And again, this is why I showed that article from Hagman PI.
Because how many kids will die when we can't defend ourselves from our own government?
Eric the Tech, always on the nose. But you know, the police, let's see here, the police chief of Albuquerque said he wouldn't enforce that. A couple of people said they wouldn't enforce it. Big friggin' deal. If you had any gumption to you, you would arrest her. You wouldn't just not enforce it. You would arrest her. You know, Zero Hedge, Zero Hedge had, our emergency power is a test to see what Americans will put up with. State governors in 44 states have sweeping authorities under emergency conditions with very little immediate legal recourse, as we've seen recently in places like Hawaii and New Mexico. Democrat governors have been playing with fire, no pun intended, as they seek to push the envelope of emergency controls at the state level. In Hawaii, the exploitation of state emergency provisions under that sniveling Josh Green led to possibly thousands of deaths as they refused to release water supplies for firefighting, and even blockaded Maui residents, forcing them back into the blaze. Like hell, I would go back into the blaze. I'd toss Josh Green into the blaze. Feet first. Or those people just following orders. You see, just following orders doesn't cut it anymore. Bullshit. What we're seeing here is unadulterated bullshit. And everyone has to understand this. And if that upsets you, if that's a bad word, then you know what? I don't care if that's what upsets you. But you see, the overstepping by this governor, Michelle Grisham, who believes that she's got this godlike authority to dictate the Second Amendment rights of Albuquerque residents, because, of course, this is based on population. I'm not going to get into that. But due to rising crime, the level of mental gymnastics, as Graham Tedesco Blair Tedesco, Graham, two names over in Fredonia, the same level of mental gymnastics is on display for everyone to see, unless you're a moron where you can't see it. And you know what? The black groups that busted the Nordstrom's, and yes, they're black. Don't tell me, well, that was just a bunch of white young scholars that did that. No. Do you see a pattern here, anyone? Or are you going to keep lying to yourself? Do you know what I mean? Are you afraid? Because back when I was working the streets, yeah, I would say black male, white male. It's part of the description. 5'10", 4'9". Oh, it appears to be about 18. Appears to be about 60. It's part of the description. It's not racist. But you see, this is what the communists have done to us. This is why I brought on various guests, including the late. You know what? Many people have spoken about this. Many people, but this overstepping by someone who believes that she's got the authority to dictate the Second Amendment rights of Albuquerque residents due to rising crime is so over the top that she should be arrested right now. Right now. Right now. Because here's the deal. None of us are going to get out of this. We are all going to be slaves unless we do something. Not type on a keyboard from mama's basement, not type on the keyboard from the luxury of our couch and our recliner, but we're going to have to get our hands dirty. How you do that is up to you. I don't know. And no, I'm not threatening violence. I'm just saying we're just going to have to get in the trenches. But, you know, isn't it funny? It's all Democratic-led states and all Democratic-led cities where this is taking place. San Francisco, what a model city for the world that is, isn't it, Nancy Pelosi, you 83-year-old crotchety dustball? You know, Grisham did never presented evidence of a legitimate emergency other than crime is bad, and she's part of the reason why it is. And by the way, attacking this open and concealed carry is an attempt at a totalitarian end around. It's a reach around. And you know something? She doesn't give any wits about it, but when you make gun carry laws, they're usually a result of legislation, not because you woke up one morning and say, hey, I've got an idea. One thing, and this is from Zero Hedge, one thing is inevitable. If Grisham is unopposed in New Mexico, numerous Democratic governors and mayors across the country are going to try to enforce the exact same emergency powers. Count on it. Count on it. Unless we step up and say no. No. Meanwhile, you've got Biden out there making an ass of himself as if he could do this anymore. They're laughing at us. The so-called elites are laughing at you and laughing at me because we're putting up with this crap. They're laughing at us. I don't know where it is. I lost my place on my show notes. Okay, we'll go with that. No, wait. No, not three. Oh, yeah, video three. I guess I need new glasses again. That's what happens when you get old. Watch video three. This is how bad things are.
We talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the Southern Hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the count press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
With every person I met with.
Mr. President, are you worried about your son being indicted, Mr. President?
As he strongly walks off stage. You like that music? I thought that music was edited in, but it wasn't. Since when do they have this light jazz to wrap up a presidential press conference? Did you like that, Eric the Tech? Wasn't that just... Didn't that give you the warm fuzzies?
Where's my 10-course meal?
I'm telling you, his ice cream afterwards, along, you know, two scoops of ice cream and some pudding, maybe. But see, that was the end of this rather lengthy word salad, no, nonsensical kind of remarks. I don't even know if that's what you could call them. They actually had to stop the press conference, toss in some this light jazz in order to, well, cover up the embarrassment, the laughing stock, the dust for brains that Biden is. And by the way, let me say this. I don't believe Biden will be anywhere near the White House or on the ballot after November of this year. And who do I believe is going to step in? I believe it's going to be Michelle Obama. Now, there's a caveat to that, because I've been hearing that Hillary is bored. But forget that. Forget Newsom. Forget Harris. You see, Michelle Obama, Big Mike, you know, Big Mike. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Has done everything. If you look back as to what Big Mike has done, Mike Obama, you know, with the cuckold of a husband who said, yeah, you know, I really dream about sleeping with guys. He wrote that in April of 1982. I dream about sleeping with guys. And then, of course, you know, Larry Sinclair, who I've had on the show, had given him two acts of fellatio for drugs. But let's not talk about that. But I believe Michelle Obama is going to be on the ticket in 2024 instead of Biden. And Biden will be in the rocking chair, you know, talking, telling how he helped the firefighters put out the kitchen fire, I'm sure. But but the world is laughing at America. And a couple more things very quickly here. Let me see. What do I got? How long do I got, brother? Yeah, I know. I can go all day. Hold on 1 second here. Let me do this. Let me do some math. Okay, here we go. This just coming up. You know Jason Aldean, right? This is a group I've been following, this group that set fire to some American flags outside of a Jason Aldean concert. And I've got a couple of things to say about this. These are communists who have not just infiltrated our various aspects of our, well, all branches of our government and with our country. But this group, RevCom, these communist revolutionaries protested in Chicago. Where else? Where else but in Chicago? By burning American flags. Now, the New York Post reports that communist revolutionaries set fire to American flags in protests outside Jason Aldean's show. We will try it right in front of your concert. That, of course, is a play on words from his song. Okay, now, let me tell you a little bit about this group of mopes and morons, about the communist revolutionary groups that burned the American flags. You see, about 20 people from this group belonging to the Revolution Club Chicago, they got in front of the concert there. And one of the spokes idiots there, activist Raphael Kadaris. Come on, Raphael. You know where I live. Come pay me a visit, right? Burning the American flag that family members of mine have died defending, you piece of crap. These people, by the way, these people are nothing but frightened. These people are just the worst of the worst. They would run in the face of danger. But the group filmed themselves burning the American flag as Aldean was singing "Try That in a Small Town." And they called that song a piece of fascist Shiite. Okay? Yeah. Guess what, Jason, they said. We will try that in a small town. That, according to Rafael Cadaris, this mope from California. Boy, that's a surprise. Who flew out to Windy City to take part in the protest. Now, you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. Where do you get the money to do that? Who underwrote this group of revolutionary, communist revolutionaries? I urge you to dig down into that group. What you will find is nothing short of, well, not really amazing, not surprising, but the same names, the usual suspects.
And security just stands there.
And that's the thing. Thank you for pointing that out. You see, now, you could probably get them for starting a fire, a menace in a public area. But, you know.
And destruction of property.
Yeah, and exactly.
Because of the pavement.
The pavement, thank you, yes. But the people with badges stand by because that's a protected act, just as drag queens with their dangling participles in the faces of young children. That's their expression of art. These people just stand there and do nothing. Yet if it was you or me burning a BLM or Antifa flag, we would never see daylight again. We'd be buried under the jail. Why? Because we have communists in charge of this broken country. We've got people like Merrick Garland. Thanks to people like Eric Holder, Obama, who said he would change everything and has done so and continues to do so. Meanwhile, you've got Mr. Potato Head up there walking around in circles like one foot is nailed to the floor, doesn't know where he's at, drooling. And you've got Nancy Pelosi up there saying, hey, I'm 83, I'm going to run again. And then you've got these rhino, spineless individuals in Congress who do absolutely nothing. And this is what you get. I'm proud of my country for allowing this to happen.
See, all Dean's video team should have grabbed a camera and spit their feet up on the big video screens during the concert. See what happens.
You know, that they probably would then have been arrested because all these people, you know, the fans would have come out and beat the living hell out of these cowards anyway. Which probably should have happened. But it's interesting because, oh, there was something that did happen. I just have to say this. You're disturbing the public peace without the authority of the law. This Tinley Park police officer told the group through a bullhorn over their chants. We are ordering you to immediately disperse, and failure to comply can result in chemical or less lethal conditions being deployed.
Now that I look at these photos, I think that's their security. It is.
I'm telling you.
The dude has a pepper paintball gun.
Yeah. Seriously? I mean, this is a crap that that people like Grisham and to a lesser extent the Graham Two Names over there in Fredonia and others like them. This is the stuff that you expect us to put up with. No more. We don't even have to graduate to masks, mask mandates or social distancing. What a load of crap that is. Or even we don't even have to go there. Just this alone. And here we are. But look up RevCom, that is R-E-V, like revolution, RevCom, or the Revolutionary Communist Party. This is a party that believes in creating a Marxist revolution in America. And, you know, some of the people that they really admire, The Bel Airs, the Bernadine
Look at
Dorns.
This police escort.
Yes, yes. Watch this.
It's like the president's in town.
Isn't that something? Folks, this is where we're at today. And you know when it really got bad? In modern times. The day that we allowed the Patriot Act, first of all, the day that we stopped questioning or didn't dare question or didn't have the foresight to question exactly what happened on 9/11 22 years ago today. And yes, things happened before that. You had Waco, you had Oklahoma City, you had many things that happened before and since. How long are we going to put up with this crap? Before I leave you, I want to show you this. I want to show you two more things. I'm already way over time, but I don't care. If you're still with me, thank you. This, in addition to being laughed at, check this out. Now, I really don't care for Newsmax that much, but the message here is pretty clear. This is video 7. Bank records prove the Biden family raked in money from foreign adversaries around the world. Please play this. This is video 7 in the show notes.
That is Congressman James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, Republican of Kentucky. And thanks to him and that great committee, we know some things that we did not know just a few short months ago. Number one, all the money coming into the Bidens. Take a look at these numbers. From Ukraine, $17 million to the Biden family. China, how much money? At least. May we have China? Yeah, $3 million. The list goes on. Romania. Money from Romania? Crazy stuff. And it's going to grandchildren. It's going to nieces, nephews, ex-girlfriends, girlfriends. It's just, it's really, really strange. And we also have the aliases that Joe Biden has been using. What is up with that, huh? On official vice presidential business. Anyway, welcome back, Congressman Comer. What's new?
Well, you mentioned the pseudonyms. The fact that he had pseudonyms isn't really the biggest story here. The biggest story is the fact that he was copying Hunter Biden on those emails that were written with pseudonyms. So we think that there are many more emails that National Archives is sitting on that not only Joe Biden was using pseudonyms, but that he was copying his son Hunter on. Now, this is important because Joe Biden, first of all, said he never knew his son was on the board of Burisma until after the fact. But then he said there was a wall between the government and his son. They never discussed business or anything like that. Well, what we're finding is not only did they discuss business, they discussed strategy. They discussed when they were going to meet with these people. They discussed what the narrative was going to be, how they were going to lie to the American people. When word got out that they were being investigated for corruption in Ukraine and being investigated for tax crimes and things like that, there was never a wall between Joe Biden and his family's shady business dealings. And I think what we're going to find is Joe Biden not only knew about them, but Joe Biden was the ringleader in all of the crimes that his family's committed.
So, you know, let's face it, if this were uncovered about the Trumps, it would have been resignation watch, right? I mean, and this is I mean, I think you've used the phrase before, money laundering.
You can cut that.
I mean, this is a money laundering
scheme. It goes on for another 4 minutes. And look, you know, when Biden wasn't given the woke poke to his granddaughter in the shower or sniffing some hair of some child, he was out making money, selling the nation's secrets and influence for personal self-enrichment. And if that's not the definition of treason, I don't know what is. So you got a bunch of, you've got the world laughing at Biden. You've got the Biden crime family. You've got personal enrichment based on what you saw there. You saw the millions of dollars into the bank accounts of the Bidens. The grandchildren are making the money too. What a gig if you can get that, huh? And Hunter smoking crack and having sex with underage prostitutes is all at Marco Polo USA. Just look that up, and you can see the entire hard drive. He posted everything, of course. And he's also got a book out. I would suggest getting that and having a hard copy when the FBI busts down your door. Put it in their swag bag so they can take it with them, because obviously they don't give a crap about anything else. So there's that. And so you've got Biden coming now in the waning moments of his regime. The people that are pulling the strings on Biden in his remaining time, and I don't give him much past November. That's me. But watch for additional lockdowns, mandates, and other executive actions, orders, and unlawful mandates in order to keep us in line. Because why? Because it's all unraveling. And speaking of unraveling, I want to end today's show with what I think is like the icing on the cake. Having sat through so many depositions, and I know I missed the World War III where Elon Musk might have stopped World War III because he did not provide the communication network for Ukraine in order to bomb Russia. You can look that on your own. It is video 2 in the show notes. But I want to go right to Mike Lindell, who's my hero, because I've sat through depositions. And, you know, when you're sitting there, in my case, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, this is costing me about $50 a minute to sit here, okay, when I'm being deposed. All right, so it's an expensive date, let me tell you. And now, because I'm older, I've lost my filter. You've seen it. I admit it. I've lost my filter. And I think Mike Lindell kind of lost his, to the extent where he's sick and tired of these scumbag lawyers. And there's a plenty of them out there. And these scumbag plaintiffs who engage in lawfare in order to destroy him personally and professionally. Because if they can't win on the merits, and they've co-opted the judicial branch, the judges, they've co-opted the system, they'll harass the living heck out of you and make you pay. But Lindell turned the tables, threw it back in his face. This is a leaked deposition from March 8th and 9th of this year. I do want to end with this. I think this is perhaps, this was one of the most satisfying things I've seen. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to watch the entire thing. We're going to play a couple of snippets. Let's start at the start, and then we're going to jump a couple more. But really watch this and take some enjoyment from this, because there are times that you can actually do this. I'm not going to say I've done it, but you can do this in a deposition. Watch this.
Tell us your full name, please.
Michael James Lindell.
Well, good morning, Mr. Lindell. My name is Charlie Kane. We met for the first time about...
Who's paying you?
About 4 minutes ago.
Okay, go on.
Is that right?
What's it?
Is that right?
Is what was the question?
We met for the first time...
Yes, yes.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start slow, because the court reporter is trying to take down what you're saying, okay?
Don't sit and scold me already, mister. I'll do whatever I have to do. So I don't. You're just a lawyer. You're an ambulance chasing lawyer. So don't start with me. I got all day. I'll take as much time as you want. So let's go. You're not my boss. You're just a lawyer, frivolous lawyer. So go. Don't start scolding me.
Oh, I'm asking questions. I'm not going to scold you.
Go ahead.
So let me finish my question, okay?
Yes.
I tend to be a slow talker.
Good for you.
I'm from Texas originally.
Good for you. I got all day. We'll make a week of this. How about that? Go ahead.
Probably up to your lawyer, but I'm happy to stay as long as you'd like.
Just keep going.
All right. Why'd you call me an ambulance, Chip?
What?
Why did you call me an ambulance?